Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
We are jam-packed for the next 45 minutes talking about the Chicago Bears and the NFL Draft. I am Mark Grody. This is On the Clock, and tonight we will speak to NFL Draft analyst Todd McShay. He will join us in a little bit, the McShay Show. You know him from his days at ESPN. And at this very moment, we are thrilled to have back a friend of the show, Emory Hunt, the founder of the Football Game Plan, college football color analyst, CBS Sports HQ, former running back. He is absolutely everywhere. Emory, thanks for coming back on the Clock, on the Score. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing fine, Mark. I appreciate you bringing me on the show again.
Of course, of course. And the big information, the big publication is coming out soon. Emory Hunt's draft guide will be coming out on Monday. Over 1,200 individual reports and analysis and evaluation on players. Emory, you went to how many All-Star games, did I hear? 8 All-Star games, something like that, something crazy?
All 8 All-Star games, and one of them was the first All-Star game, which starts in May up in Canada, which is how I got to see a lot of these Canadian college prospects, because they're starting May. Then I went to all 7 in the States during the month of January, so I've been on the road a lot.
Oh, that is fantastic. So it makes it very difficult for me to know exactly where to start with you, but I will start, Garner, on some of your expertise, and you are more than obviously a running back and an evaluator of running backs, but that has become a very hot topic around here because of the Bears' flexibility, at least at number 10 overall, with the damage or the good stuff that the Bears have done so far in the preseason in terms of trades and acquisitions. We are talking about the possibility of running back at the number 10 overall spot. If you could, Emory, take us through the running backs room a little bit. And obviously, let's start with Ashton Jeanty, the outstanding running back out of Boise State. I guess my question on him would be, do you, like many people, think he is a worthwhile consideration in the top 10 of this particular draft?
It's interesting. Even though he's my number one back in this class, I don't view him as a top 10 talent. You know, when we're talking about top 10, we're talking about the Jahmyr Gibbs, the Bijan Robinsons, the Reggie Bushes, those type of elite level game breakers where your eyes just kind of just go, wow. You know, Ashton Jeanty is a first-round back. He's very good. But if you told me you wanted Amarian Hampton, I wouldn't disagree with you in that regard because he's also a first-round back and also very good. But top 10, unless you are in Chicago's position where you can look at this as a final piece to the puzzle, that's perfect. you know, or because what Chicago has done in the offseason has now positioned them with the 10th pick to truly go best player available. They have a lot of options. They can either trade out, trade up specifically for a specific player, or sit and take whoever they deem is the best player on their board right there at 10. And if Ginty is that guy, I have no problems with taking him. But when, you know, it's just a question of when you're talking top 10 talent, he's a first round talent, just not top 10 talent.
No, I gotcha. And my thought on that has always been, I'd say no to that at number 10 for the Bears. Like, I wouldn't want that, but if they were to do it, I would probably make the best of it. And I don't think it would be a pound the table situation if they were to do it. You know, you mentioned Omarion Hampton out of North Carolina, and, you know, in the same breath, you know, as a first rounder, as you said, in the same breath as Ashton Jeanty. Is there a fine line between Ashton Jeanty and some of these other running backs, or is it Ashton Jeanty, big space, and everybody else?
No, there's a fine line, and I love that you're asking me these open-ended questions, because I can't provide so much context because of having played the position, but also really locking in on the running backs and grading those guys really well, is that when you look at Jeanty, you see he has tremendous contact balance. It's insane. You wonder how he's breaking all these tackles, right? You almost want to get him tested for steroids. Like, there's no way this dude is breaking all these tackles. Like, he can't be that strong. but when you look at someone like Omarion Hampton, you see good contact balance, you see good power, but you also see burst and acceleration. You know he's faster than Ashton Jeanty. You could actually see it. And then when you think about someone like a Travion Henderson, mm-hmm. who checks all those boxes of pass pro, vision, footwork, acceleration, game-breaking speed, receiving skills, you see it, right? And so that's why when folks was going about saying Jeanty is this, and if you look at it from a, let's say, just from a three-year perspective of where would you rank Jeanty? Would you rank him over Jahmyr Gibbs? No. Would you put him over Bijan Robinson? No. Would you, you know, if you go back a little bit further, like, would you put him over, you know, McCaffrey or Fournette as a prospect? Yeah, probably not. So when you're looking at all of this in totality, you're like, okay, this is a good back. Don't get me wrong. And but Hampton is really good. Henderson is excellent. And I'm a big fan of what other guys in this class bring to the table.
Yeah, no, those are all good names right there. And that helps me out a little bit when you talk about some of these other guys like Jahmyr Gibbs and Bijan Robinson. In your mind, those guys were better NFL prospects, and obviously they've thrived at the NFL level, so Saquon would be out of the picture as well. I think the one guy, Ashton Jeanty, we mentioned, Travion Henderson, you talked about, obviously Omarion Hampton, and then a lot of people around here in the Midwest interested in Caleb Johnson, the kid out of Iowa. What do you think about him?
Caleb Johnson he reminds me a lot of Brian Robinson for Washington.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of a one cut downhill guy. It's the first line of my scouting report for him. I have, you never go broke taking a profit, which he does, right? He's going to always fall forward. Good pad level, good body lean. For a guy that's 6'1", he runs with good pad level. But he's primarily a front side guy, which means if you beat him to the spot, he's not going to cut it back and hit the backside gap. He's not overly elusive. And he's more of a build-up speed type of a guy. When we talk about fast, you don't see his speed, right? I don't care what he's going to run in a 40 at a pro day or whatever. Play speed is what really counts. And for me, he kind of reminds me a lot of a former Chicago Bear back in Jordan Howard how he runs, you know. And so good back. And we're really, again, it's always fascinating how I approach the draft part, because I'm, you know, calling college games during the season. I'm an NFL analyst and a CFL analyst on CBS Sports. So I'm across the board, college football and also pro football analyst. I was getting ready for, I had a game on Saturday, and I was in the hotel, and it was one of those rare Friday night 9 o'clock kickoffs. And it just so happened to be UCLA and Iowa. I was like, you know what? Everybody's talking about this doggone Iowa Bay. Let me sit here and watch. That had to have been the worst game I picked to watch live, because UCLA had him in, you know, witness protection. Like, he couldn't do jack. And so it was like, wow, is this the dude that everybody's talking about? So when I go into the film room in February and studied him, you saw the good, and you saw, okay, this is why everyone's talking about him, but you also saw what you saw live against UCLA pop up a lot across his film.
Yeah, that's the worst when you finally get around to watching a prospect. I had that happen with me. I with Caleb a couple of years ago, whenever, but okay, let's watch this guy. And then I think it was, he just had one of his worst games. I'm like, what's with the hype about this guy? And it kind of ruins the moment, but you go a lot deeper, don't you, Emory Hunt?
Oh, absolutely. Like you have to, if you're going to do this and dive in, because my best thing, my best attribute as an analyst is just to, you know, really thrive when everybody's talking about the same thing. Yeah, I can talk about, you know, the Ohio States and the Penn States and the Shadors and Cam Wars, but man, wake me up on day three when nobody's talking about nothing, but and I know I have all the information. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. Well, let me do that a little bit with you then, because the Bears, and we'll get back to some, because I know that you had your defensive line rankings came out, or just some talking about those guys. So we'll get to some of that here in a second. But the Bears have 2 second round picks now, and I know that you're talking about deeper, and you know, as the days go on. But we've been so obsessed with what the Bears are going to do at number 10. What kind of value do you think there is in the second round for some of the positions that maybe the Bears could be interested in, that could be adding an offensive tackle still, or defensive tackle, or even safety has come up? What kind of juicy prospects could there be in the second round?
Oh, there's a lot of great prospects across the board. I mean, this is I'm probably the worst person to ask that question of how deep is the draft.
Yeah.
Well, for me, every year is a deep class, because I feel like, you know, I find talent everywhere, right? And, you know, one of my favorite finds that played with Chicago was Daniel Hardy, because I was at the NFLPA Bowl when that was in existence. So like, you know, this pass rusher for Montana State is out here kicking you know what. And I knew I wasn't bugging, because he ends up going to the Rams and then finds his way on to Chicago. So, it's deep. I would say all of those positions are very deep.
Yeah.
Running back, let's say Lan Larison, guy from UC Davis that no one is talking about. Outstanding tailback, like legit tailback. And if you're thinking about a Christian McCaffrey type, he's probably that guy. If you're talking about safety, when you go, I'll give you an underrated name that really stood out to me at the Hula Bowl. His name was Major Williams from Carson Newman. Solid Division II program, but he stood out because he was, you know, the ball skills are where they need to be, the instincts are where they need to be, but he helps you out he's an A-plus returner, you know. Him and J.J. Roberts out of Marshall really stood out at the Hula Bowl, and J.J. Roberts, every time I looked up, he had the ball in his hands, and he played defense. That's kind of what you want, right? Like somebody that always has the ball in his hands. So, offensive tackle, I thought this class had a little bit more juice than was given credit for. I know people talk about the same couple of guys like Banks and all those
cats,
but man,
Campbell.
But this is a class where if you want to wait on tackle, there's no downside in waiting on that position because you have, you know, guys that can step in and play right away. Some crossover guys that can play guard or center. And when you're thinking about like the offensive tackle position, I graded 72 tackles. So I went deep in this class, and I'm also a big fan of Hylan Pierce, the tackle out of Rutgers, who stood 6'8", came in at 341. And for someone as that tall, like I talked about with Johnson, he plays with so much good pad level and great knee bend, and he's outstanding in the run game. Ozzie Trapillo out of Boston College was surprised at how good he was, being another 6'8 offensive lineman. His dad played for the New Orleans Saints back in my days growing up. And so when you think about these taller tackles that aren't getting a lot of love, that have great knee bend, that are able to do a great job, Charles Grant, 6'5", 311 out of William & Mary, fantastic athlete. Coach Mike London does a great job in not only cultivating talent at William & Mary, but developing the talent. So it's also good to see how they've been able to really get these guys going right away.
Yep, talking to Emory Hunt here on the clock. Emory is the founder of Football Game Plan. You see him everywhere, college football color analyst, CBS Sports HQ, a former running back himself. And this guy has seen a ton of prospects, and that's why we like having him on the clock here on the Score. When you mentioned, Emory, that the Bears can wait on tackle, that they don't necessarily have to go and get one of those big names that we just talked about at number 10, how long can a team wait in this draft? draft to get a guy who could be starter ready, or at least at some point in time during the season, a guy who could be developed into a starter. Because I mentioned the 2 second rounds. Could they grab a good one in the fifth round, seventh round? How valuable is the tackle draft, I guess?
Well, I would say because of how you have teams throughout the course of the season complain about offensive line depth, you probably want to grab the good ones first. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. if you do see someone that can help you in the second round that's a starter, grab them. Because the longer you wait, the more development you're going to have to do. However, I've always said this, and it's just my probably weird way of thinking about the process. If you get, 5,000 to 7,000 college-eligible draft players a year, and you mean tell me I get to scrape off the top and get the best seven of 5,000? Like, every one of my picks better be a starter. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah. You better be putting in good work to this, this guy that we picking in the seventh round is not a throwaway pick, man. This is something that we invested years into cultivating and scouting. We better nail all of these draft picks, even some of these undrafted dudes we bring in. But I will say, just because you think like that, you still want to grab the best of the best. I always always compare it to when you're picking teams on the playground, basketball. You want to get the good ones first before you kind of like, even though you're picking guys that you think can help you win, obviously you're going to pick the guys that you think that can help you win more first and early. Before you get to the last dude on the park, be like, all right, you come on, play.
That's a great way to put it. Emery, I'm anxious to talk a little bit about your defensive line rankings, and I think it's probably fair, because I think we did this last year, but I want to bring it up again with you, that just kind of your system for evaluating a defensive lineman, which, of course, includes the edge rushers as well.
Right, because you can't look at – I always find it fascinating when folks that, cover the draft or break down the draft look at things in a singular way. Like, hey, how would you rank the wide receivers? Like, bro, I can't put Randy Moss and Wes Welker in the same ranking because they play in two different positions.
Mm-hmm.
So same with defensive line. You got edge rushers. You got guys that are probably better as your 4-3 defensive end. Guys are better as a 3-4 end, which is kind of like that 5 technique that can rush over the tackle or rush just inside the shoulder. You have your D tackles and those tackles. So you got guys that can literally do everything. The edge rusher is your best pass rusher. That's the guy that you turn to and say, like, hey, we need you to go get the quarterback. That's that dude. Your 4-3 end is probably a little bit better versus the run. A lot better, actually, but can also rush the passer. 3-4 kind of can do the same thing, but probably a little bit stronger than both guys, honestly. And D tackles, obviously your 3 tech or someone that can really get quick pressure, and those tackles, the guys that used to, your Ted Washington types, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's how I look at the position.
If people around here smile when you bring up Ted Washington, a former Bear, him and Keith Traylor in the early 2000s.
Right. Yeah.
Those guys. Oh, another guy who loved those guys was one Brian Urlacher, because a young Brian Urlacher thrived behind those big guys for sure. We're gonna definitely talk. I definitely want your evaluation on Abdul Carter, but let's just rule him out for the Bears for right now, unless they were to move up. And I definitely, like I said, I'm gonna get your evaluation on him. But other than Abdul Carter at edge, at somebody sacking the quarterback in a 4-3 defense, which is what the Bears will be running under Dennis Allen, who are some ideal guys, edge rushers, that you look at beyond Abdul Carter that might be plausible for the Bears, whether in the first round or one of those second round picks?
Shamar Stewart would be the one I would probably gamble on at 10 if I'm Chicago, because of, if you look at his traits on paper, it's like, all right, this guy should have like 20 sacks, right? But then you go and watch the production, he didn't have 20 sacks. He barely had 4. But when you watch A&M play defense, you're like, okay, they're asking him to play a different way. And I always compared his situation to Rashawn Gary's situation when he was coming out of Michigan. It's like, man, this dude athletically is insane, but why he only has 3.5-4 sacks? Like, well, he's playing what they're asking him to play defensively. And then once you get him in the pro game and have him do what he does best, then you're going to see a guy have double-digit sacks. And I feel like that's going to be the same thing for Shamar Stewart out of A&M. I think he could be an edge or your standard 4-3 guy. So for me, someone like that is like first-round caliber. Day 2, even though he had a fantastic Senior Bowl, I kind of like what the guy from Central Arkansas, David Walker, has been able to put together. What was fascinating about him was watching him. You know, I cover a lot of FCS football. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you would have told me he was 6'4", 250, I was like, yeah, that checks out. Because, I mean, clearly dominating on film like that. But when he checked in at 6'1", 260, I was like, wow. Like, the fact that he's dominating, you know, Power 4 competition and FBS competition as an undersized edge rusher, a la, you know, Brandon Graham, like, man, this dude is really, he has a talent. Then he goes down to the Senior Bowl and just balls out like that. Jordan Birch is another one out of Oregon I'm a big fan of. You know, very good quickness. He could play the seven. He could, you know, he could defend the run. Got the length and everything that you look for. And Oregon has been cultivating those defensive linemen. And both of those Ohio State guys, honestly, JT Teamolau and Jack Sawyer. I know the running joke for Sawyer is that he's, you know, Sam Hubbard, you know, but he played, but that's not a bad thing. That's not a bad comp. And he's more of the stable run defender. He's going to do what's asked and do what's required. Teamolau is someone that's the one that has a little bit more twitch, a little bit more explosiveness, but he has to develop a little bit more in his pass rushing bag moving forward.
Emery, thank you for coming on. I wish I could talk to you longer, but we only have a 45-minute show tonight. So thank you so much for coming on with us. I appreciate you.
Appreciate you for always having me on, man. It was a great, great time.
Yep. Thank you, man. And we will definitely do it again. That is Emery Hunt, the founder of Football Game Plan, college football color analyst, CBS Sports HQ, former running back. And we always appreciate Emery's opinions here on the clock. I'm Mark Grody, and this is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back into On the Clock. I'm Mark Grody, and now joining us is NFL draft analyst Todd McShay. He is the host of The McShay Show on The Ringer. You know him from all of his great work at ESPN as well. And Todd, I saw your whole setup at the Combine, the McShay Show Combine setup. I was going in about a million different directions. I was going to come up and say hello. So now I get a chance to say hello to you. Hello, Todd McShay. How are you?
Better late than never, right? I'm doing well, man. How you doing, Mark?
I am doing great, man. I got so much stuff that I want to talk to you about. But I guess the place that I, just because I have this in my head right now, I just got done talking to Emery Hunt, a fellow draft analyst with you. And we were just talking about Shamar Stewart, the defensive end out of Texas A&M, and the possibility of that maybe being a guy that the Bears could go up and snag at number 10. What do you think about that player and the possibility of him fitting in with the Bears at number 10?
He's definitely one of the most polarizing prospects in this class, right? Like,
yeah,
you got a lot of people who are like, you know, former edge rushers themselves or diehard defensive line guys who watch him, who get very frustrated. Then you've got some scouts that are a little skittish to put their name on him, right? Because, you know, at the end of the day, the way you climb up in this industry, if you're a scout, is you have your name on a lot of good players and you become reliable and trustworthy. And so with a guy like Stewart, it usually becomes the coaches in the NFL getting involved in the process, which is like January, February, and looking and be like, oh, I can do a lot with that. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I get it. 1.5 sacks last year.
Yeah.
But 6'5". 267, 34-plus-inch arms. He ran a 4.59. He had a 1.58 10-yard split. And, like, the cutoff, like, Bill Polian always talked about trying to get his closers on the defensive side, like the Dwight Freeneys and those guys. And 1.6 or faster is, like, that's the elite. So you see a 1.58 there, and then he had the best broad jump. He had the second-best vertical jump. So it's, like, you see all those traits. And then you put on the tape, right? And it's not just this, you know, Mike Mamula stuff. This is like, this guy can actually play. He's a damn good run defender right now. And that travels to the NFL. He can, you know, he can, as a kind of a 5 technique or setting a hard edge, and, you know, at a 7 technique, he's going to be really good versus the run immediately. But the traits are rare as a pass rusher. And I see a guy who has like the flexibility that you need to work through contact. And I'll say this too. Over the year, you know, early in my career doing this, it was like, give me speed and guys with great change of direction and all that. Mm-hmm. But as I've kind of matured and studied and learned from my mistakes, like, I'll take power and strength over speed and athleticism. I'd love to have all of it, but power is what translates to the NFL as a pass rusher. And this guy is, you know, uniquely strong and can create his own power from the ground up. So I know it's a long answer. I think that, you know, Danielle Hunter was very similar coming out. Everyone was kind of scratching their head. He had like 5 quarterback hurries and a sack and a half his final year at LSU. Stewart, yeah, sack and a half. He had 33 quarterback hurries, though. A little bit different there.
Mm-hmm.
Similar type skill set. Stewart a little bit more flexible, I think, but similarly, like, just gifted and powerful. And we've seen Danielle Hunter to go on to have a great career, Vikings and Texans. And I think if you're pounding the table for him, Hunter's the example that you're giving.
That's great stuff. Talking to Todd McShay, NFL draft analyst and host of the McShay Show on The Ringer. And you should know, too, that his mock draft 3.0 is coming out next week. And I know that Shedeur Sanders, out of your top 5, how far could he fall?
It's interesting, man. It really is. Like, he's a, you know, quick strengths and weaknesses, right? Like, let's start with the weaknesses and end with the good. His average to like slightly above average arm. So that, like, there's no elite trait in terms of the arm. He's not very fast. Didn't get dad's genes there. As one scout, Joey, he got mom's speed. but he's creative and he extends plays, and it's interesting too, because I don't think his instincts and awareness in the pocket are that great. Like, he's going to get himself killed if he doesn't start getting the ball out, stay on time, sense where the pressure's coming from and those sorts of things. Cause and another guy I talked to in the league put it well. He's like, he has the same bad habits that Caleb Williams had, except Caleb was, you know, significantly better athlete and stronger arm. So he was able to get out of trouble with those things. Shedeur doesn't have those, but what does Shedeur have? And it's not just the, you know, the name, it's not Colorado, it's not his dad. It's 3 things that jump out to me. He's the fastest processor in this class. He's the best pure passer when things are clean and he's on rhythm. And he is Teflon tough, man. And so you look at all these traits and you kind of try to figure out where he's going to go. Cam Ward's going number one to Tennessee. I mean, it's basically a done deal now. Then if for the longest time, and I can make an argument that Cleveland would be the best place for him, given the talent there, and most importantly, Kevin Stefanski and all the winning he's done with guys that are not mobile, don't have great, you know, strong arms. 11 games with Kirk Cousins. I think it was McCown or who was it that he won 10 or 11 games with as well. So, but it's not happening. And now as we get closer, I feel like the winds are shifting and the Giants, it could still be Shador at three. But I'm starting to hear more and more that it would be Abdul or Travis Hunter at three, depending on which player goes to Cleveland at two. And so now it gets fascinating because the Patriots aren't taking him at four. The Jaguars aren't taking him at five. I'm pretty damn sure the Jets aren't at six and the Raiders aren't the Raiders aren't at six and the Jets aren't at seven. And so the next team you look at is the Saints. And will be a team trading up? Or, I mean, there's it's going to be interesting. I even saw, I called my guys at FanDuel, and I was like, so what's the over-under now on Shador? Because it used to be a 2.5.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's 8.5.
Wow.
Yeah. So
wow.
It's going to be fascinating.
Yeah, I can't wait to see. I like that there's a little bit of drama in the top five, that it's not just slam dunk stuff. So we shall see. The Bears, Todd, as we kind of bounce back and forth here, obviously they have the number 10 overall pick, and you use the word flexibility a lot in describing some of the things that we were just talking about. The Bears, woof, did they ever have flexibility at number 10? Have you been able to zero in on what direction they might go, or what direction, knowing what they have already brought in, what direction they should go at number 10?
They're really interesting. And I mean that both in a good way and like a mildly concerning way. Mm-hmm. We all love what they did in addressing the interior offensive line. The priorities are in the right place and they handled the priorities. And then a couple of new defensive front guys. Ben Johnson saw it in Detroit. You got to get the trenches figured out. And then you add the Ferraris and the other pieces to it. Right. And so, now you're sitting there at 10, but I think just as importantly, quite honest, those picks 39 and 41, those are huge, man.
Yes.
Because let's just kind of dig into it here. Cam Ward's going number one. My estimation, and I think you would get this as a majority in the league, I'm not saying it's consensus, but a majority, there's six position players that are considered, what do you want to call it, like top tier. Here, elite, blues, blue chips, whatever the name is you want to tag on. But there are six guys that everyone kind of agrees, or a lot of people agree, are the other guys at positions. That's Abdul Carter, the edge rusher, Travis Hunter, Mason Graham, defensive tackle, Ashton Jeanty, running back from Boise State, obviously, Tyler Warren, tight end, and Jalen Walker, the edge rusher from Georgia. So you're sitting there at 10 and you're Ryan Poles, right? and you're praying, obviously, that, you know, Cam Ward goes one, Shador comes off the board, maybe it's at three or another team moves in, or it's the Saints at nine. And you're actually praying that Jackson Dart gets involved too, is in the mix. But even in that scenario, right, the dream scenario that three quarterbacks go in the top nine and those other six guys come off the board, they're gone. And so, like, you have to have a trade partner, but no matter kind of how this thing shakes out, I'll be surprised if they're not sitting there at 10 saying, we can kind of get the same player, the same graded player at 15, 17 that we can get at 10. Mm. You know what I mean? Because like, when you look at it, you're like Ashton Jeanty, that would be amazing. Let's pair him up. We got Swift. Now Ben's got the combo like he had in Detroit, right? But Jinty's probably going to be gone. Then you look at Campbell. Left tackle, yeah, a little shorter arms. Arms are longer at pro day than they were at the combine, but he can play left tackle, and we think it's going to be an upgrade there. That would be great, but he's probably going to be gone at four to the Patriots. Jalen Walker, pass rusher extraordinaire, yeah, but he's going to be gone at worst case eight to Carolina.
Right.
And so it's going to – and Membu's worth the pick. Armand Membu, the tackle from Missouri, but he's a right tackle. You already got that
guy. Yeah, yeah.
So that to me is going to be interesting. And so maybe it is a Shamar Stewart. You know, maybe it's a Mike Green. I think it's a little high for him. Maybe it's one of those pass rushers. I love Omarion Hampton, but again, I'd love to get him at 19, 17, not at 10. So, in regard, they're going to get a really good player, but they're not going to get one of those six position players I was talking about. The good news is if they can't trade out, you just take the best player available.
Yeah.
And then at 39 and 41 is where I think you get your weapons. I mean, I look at, you know, I would love to get a player at 10 and combine that with Travion Henderson rather than having to take Genty at 10 and then trying to get the next best edge rusher, you know, a second round edge. It's just the combination of picks is a lot different than like if you could get like a Luther Burden, you know, who could be sitting there at 40. And yeah, he's a lot to handle coming out of Missouri, but he's also a dynamic playmaker. Jameson Williams is a lot to handle too.
Yeah.
And that worked out pretty well for Ben Johnson. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Bears handle this whole thing. I think they'd love to trade back. I'm just not sure that someone would be willing to move up unless one of those quarterbacks is sitting there.
Todd McShay of the McShay Show on the Ringer. His mock draft 3.0 is coming out next week. Todd, we all love following you, and your draft expertise has been fantastic through the years. And thank you for coming on with us here on the Clock.
No, I really appreciate it, Mark. Look forward to talking to you soon.
Absolutely. That is, again, Todd McShay of The Ringer. Looking forward to seeing his mock draft coming up. That's all the time we have today for On the Clock. We thank you for listening to the program. For our producer, Alex Kuhn, and for our excellent guests today, Emery Hunt and Todd McShay, I am Mark Grody on The Score. Bulls basketball is next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds, and grow your business fast.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Airo. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.